Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with Indiana State Representative Stephen Bartels at his Patoka Lake Marina. Bartels has been a Republican representative since 2017. Bartels' Southern Indiana constituency is a red-blue blend of Republican and Democrats, and thus his symbolic purple elephant logo. Bartels is a passionate advocate for cross-aisle partnerships in the State House to propel legislative proposals. Come along and join Bartels as he shares his passionate advocacy for functional government via streamlining or eliminating burdensome, inefficient bureaucratic rules and laws. In addition to serving as Republican state representative, Bartels owns and manages Patoka Lake Marina and Winery with the invaluable assistance of his business partner, Heather Setzer. Prior to serving as a state representative, Bartels spent 9 years as an Indiana law enforcement officer and 22 years in the United States Army, retiring as a major.
My name is Steve Bartels. We're in lovely southern Indiana, Bird's Eye, Indiana to be exact, a thriving metropolis.
Tell us about you. You own a business here, right?
Yeah, blessed enough to have got the opportunity to come down here about 23 years ago and help start the marina, and we've just kind of continuously expanded from there, you know, into gas station, restaurants, laundromat, just kind of becoming that one-stop shop for people that are traveling through the area.
You're a state representative?
Yes, I am. It's my side gig.
In your spare time?
In my spare time, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about that. How and when, why, you know, why did you decide to get involved in government?
A friend of mine was a state representative. I was his campaign manager. Helped him campaign, got to know everybody. In the, you know, I represent 5 counties. Well, he had an opportunity to do something different, so there was a vacancy in the position.
Are you independent? Or?
I'm a Republican. Uh-huh. My district's probably 52 to 48, so it's not heavily one way or the other.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, a lot of my Democrat friends are union guys and girls, and it's just, you know, that's just, but they're all, pretty much my district's all conservative, right. And, you know, I just lucked into this, basically. I decided to go ahead and run for it.
What was your platform? You know, why?
Well, the big thing was trying to get some more amenities for our district. You know, I still have people that haul water to their homes. They do not have plumbing. We have literally...
This is a low-income county,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yes, it
One
is.
One of the lowest income in the state.
It is, yeah. And my other big platform is I think there should be less government. I think that if you get government out of people's way, they'll be more successful, more productive.
Your goal is to put yourself out of business.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, and we're blessed in Indiana to have a part-time legislature. I'm up there 2-3 times throughout the summertime, but we're only up there for 2 to 3 months at a time, so we're not there full-time. So It forces us to be more realistic about our viewpoints of government.
Tell us a little bit more your philosophy, your mission, what you would hope to accomplish.
My philosophy about government is my mascot's a purple elephant, 6 foot tall. And the intent is I'm a Republican at heart in my core, but I think that when you mix that red and the blue and you get purple, There's so many things we can compromise on and work together. And you just don't see that a lot in government. You know, there's that separation. And I think if we could start working together, we'd get more accomplished.
That's an important thing to kind of deconstruct, because saying you are a Republican is so amorphous. The people I have the most admiration for in the United States that I've met, become friends with, Governor of South Dakota, no more, back in the day. He was, quote, conservative Republican. It made him mad, but I said, you know, you're really a populist. And it's because It's because of that tag of back to socialism. But populist in the sense that his mission was truly to represent the people. End of story.
Right. And that's the other thing to recognize, too, with my position is a lot of times people forget that I'm not a representative of the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. I represent a district. My district is different than Indianapolis or, you know, the Lake Counties, and we have different wants and needs, and sometimes my colleagues forget that I don't have the same viewpoint with them in the state house.
And I think that's really important. I've interviewed many mayors. There are more on the front line than you, but after the mayor, it's the representatives that you get people in your constituents that are in your face, where a senator is more shielded from the people.
Well, from our standpoint, they're the lords, right? As friends, we still call them the lords of the house. But yeah, I think there is some kind of a separation. I think there's a psychological difference that people believe that they're in a different realm than we are as representatives. Mm-hmm. And so I do get a lot of FaceTime. And then I give out my information, personal information, to my constituents.
Have your constituents changed your thinking at all and given you interesting ideas that you might not have thought of on your own?
Absolutely. And I do use, like we do, everybody does surveys in politics, right? But I actually use that to vote. And I tell people it's important that you fill out surveys. There's a vote that I personally disagreed with. My district, 78% said they wanted the smoking age to go to 21. Well, as an ex-military guy, I'm like, I remember trying to get chew and smoke when I was 18. And it's like, I was totally against that vote. But my district said 78% they want to raise it. And so I voted for it.
So
it makes a difference, yeah.
Uh-huh. So a little bit more, because you alluded to something that's really important and that is dysfunctional in Washington right now, and that's cross-aisle politics. You can talk to any of the old dogs or guys that are dead now, and they will all have told you that it was because of cross-aisle politics that they were able to be viable in the Senate or the House.
Yeah, a great conversation was with Richard Lugar and Lee Hamilton, two completely opposite sides of the aisles. And they had some talkings you could go to, and to hear them talk about the fact that they didn't always agree, but they were civil, they worked together, and they recognized there are certain projects that's best for the state, and they worked on them together.
Before he was a state representative, he was a county council, and then he was elected as county council president, and he said he would only be the county council president if the vice president was a Democrat.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah.
My chairman's head started to spin when we...
Yeah.
But it was important. It was that we all talk about bipartisanship, and unless you're going to practice it, then it's just out of words.
Which he's now a Republican. Now he's
switched parties. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, that, I mean, practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm. As a metaphor, the reason why many people admire Liz Cheney so much is pure and simply the guts to hold to her position, not with regard to left, right, or center, right, or wrong. That's why John McCain was so popular, because he had the guts to stick to what he believed was right. And people give you a lot of credit, even though they don't agree with your position. They perceive that you're operating out of your true heart and what you truly believe. And that's so rare in government today.
Yeah, this district knows that when Steve is up there, that everybody knows that he is for less government, and he's a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. He's not going to sugarcoat it. Very blunt individual.
It's probably cost me some friends by being too blunt sometimes.
Yeah. No filter.
No filter,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in architecture, there's Mies van der Rohe, and he's very famous for saying less is more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that, you hit it on the head there.
Yep, especially in government.
Tell us again along your plan. One of your missions is with state agencies and regulators and inspectors to bring them in, loop them in. Talk to us about that for a moment.
Yeah, I think the big thing is reining in our agencies, let them recognize that they exist because of the state legislators. I mean, we created them. We have the right to limit them. That's kind of where I'm at is Indiana's a great place to live and work, but we can always do better. And part of that is with limiting our agency's ability to, one, fine, restrict our citizens and our businesses.
Mm-hmm. He had a first this last session. He was one of two bills that were vetoed by the governor, and his was one of them.
Wow.
You know, and I've been trying to get the pen that the governor signed with. He has the veto. He hasn't sent me the pen yet. So,
that's funny.
But it was just a transparency bill, just to say, look, we want everybody to know what these agencies
are
doing.
Why would somebody be against that?
That's a great question. We'll have to, maybe you can interview our governor after this. So.
Well, that being said, maybe you know better.
But would you consider running for governor?
Absolutely not.
I knew you were going there.
No, and people have asked me about running for, and I said, no, this is it. My political career is done once this is over, and I'll do this.
So you accomplished what you set out to do.
I don't think being in the government should ever be your long-term goal. I think you serve for, at some point when you're no longer effective, but it's not who I am. You know, I do this because the people voted me to do it for a while. And
were you able to plant any landmines that will ensure a legacy, what you hope to accomplish?
I think that's is to be determined here shortly. I think, speaking of landmines, they're going to be coming here in the next couple of years, I think so.
I was just agreeing. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see some different legislation we hope go through in the next year or so. So it'll be interesting.
We're always looking for the next experience. What can we do to make this unique? And that's kind of why we're here. I'm Steve Bartels. Thank you.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Southern Indiana. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
There's Jubilee, and see them spend their last 2 bits for none of it.